Our churches, the Congregational Church, the Methodist Church, many of the churches in the town, go back hundreds of years. And we build on foundations that have been built on by generations. But remember, the church in Corinth was very new. It was not long after Jesus had died on the cross that this church was established, and Paul visited them, and now he's writing to them because strife has arisen within the church. Some are following Paul's teachings, another following Apollos' teachings, and so on and so forth. And we know that happens within churches, don't we? I mean, the Methodists, for example, are a breakaway from the Church of England, are they not? And we got kicked out of the Church of England, so, you know, nothing changes. But Paul is keen to point out that the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The whole reason the church exists is because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he brought us closer to God and gave us the Holy Spirit. And he points out that each person will build on those foundations. Now, it may be a whole generation building on a church, it may be an individual building on their own church life. And the work that they carry out will be judged. So if you build with hay, chances are it'll burn down. If you build with solid materials, and by that I mean solid intentions and solid values, then it might stand the test of time. And if the builder messes up, that's okay. They will be forgiven, they will be saved, but it might be a rough journey ahead. Might have to go through the flames, as Paul says. But it is a journey that we don't carry out alone. We carry it out together as a community, and we carry it out with the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm always grateful that we have the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, but you yourselves are the temple. And that must have come as a bit of a jarring note, because the temple in Jerusalem was still standing. And it is odd to liken the people, even the church, to a temple. Now, in the temple in Jerusalem, there's something called the Holy of Holies, and that is where God was thought to reside. And only the high priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies, and only once a year. And then he was allowed to give offerings to placate God and ask for forgiveness for the sin of the people. And if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. And that was the curtain to the Holy of Holies. And it's a bit like saying God was released and allowed to be amongst everyone. And the way he does that is by giving us the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, we are temples, our churches are temples, we individually are temples, because God in the form of the Holy Spirit resides in us. And we have to make sure that we build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. We can build on the foundations of the generations that have come before us, but we have to make sure that we fully understand that the real foundation is Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the next passage, which leads on to this, or builds on it. And it's Luke 13, 31 to 35. And it's Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, many fine sermons have been written about this, and I'm not going to try and rival them. I want to look at the fact that Herod was probably quite happy with the status quo until John the Baptist and Jesus came along. The Jews were nicely oppressed by the Romans, by all the Roman rules and all the Roman taxes, and then their own very strict religious laws. So Herod was probably having an easy life. And then come along these people who want to upset the apple cart. Of course, he had John the Baptist arrested, and ultimately he executed him. And I'm sure that Jesus was in danger. Well, we know he was. And Jesus was well aware of this danger. Do you think the Pharisees had Jesus' best interests at heart when they warned him? I don't think they did. They were just as upset by him as Herod was. He was upsetting their status quo, challenging their authority. So they wanted to frighten him off, and they used the big stick called Herod to do it with. And Jesus is having none of it. "Tell that fox, I'm going to continue my mission." And he was quite sure that he would have to be in Jerusalem in order to be killed. And at the moment, he's roaming the countryside, telling all and sundry about his father's kingdom and telling them how wonderful his father is and how they can draw near to him. Now, standing firm in the face of popular opinion, direct threat, political adversity is very difficult. And there are many role models out there, and unfortunately we have many regimes that oppress those that stand up against them, and I won't even try to mention them. But I'm always very impressed when people will stand up to that kind of political oppression, even to the point of death. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus did. He was standing very, very firm. He had a mission. He probably knew exactly how it was going to pan out. He certainly knew what the end was. But he knew he had a mission on earth while he was doing it. And he was very firm in what he was doing. So he tells the Pharisees, "I'm going to continue today, tomorrow, and the next day." And maybe the third day refers to his resurrection. That's certainly how many people interpret it. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it quite difficult to have the courage of my convictions in the face of adversity. I haven't faced prosecution. I haven't stood up against political oppression. But there are opportunities, dare I call them that, in our daily lives where we are challenged for our faith, We are challenged for the way that we might behave if there is violence or aggro, as you might call it. Do we stand firm? Or do we join the melee? Well, we probably, each of us, respond in a different way, and most of the time when there is a dangerous situation, be it a physically dangerous situation or one where we're challenged mentally, we all react quite instinctively, don't we? I certainly react quite instinctively, and then I think afterwards, oh, I wish I hadn't said that, or wish I'd said such and such. It's always great in hindsight, isn't it? But actually, with practice, we can get better at it, with being more mindful about how we react to certain situations. We can get better at it. In our day-to-day living, we can get better at being compassionate to those that we meet, thoughtful when we're listening to people. When we're talking to people, we can think about the words that we're using rather than doing whatever comes into our heads. And we all know people like that, don't we? We always say, oh, the tongue spoke before the mind thought, you know, that kind of thing. And again, by practice, we can get better at that. But going back to making sure that our foundations are sound, it's not just about how we behave, it's also about the company that we keep. It's about, dare I say it, even the news articles and the social media that we consume. And maybe it even extends to the books that we read, the films that we watch. We need to be very mindful of the fact that in this day and age, and that goes back to Psalm 12 that we started with, there's an awful lot of bad mouthing going on, a lot of boasting going on. And I mean, I don't do any social media, but I know those people that do complain about the trolling and the many rather horrible things that happen on things like Facebook and Twitter and whatever. As I say, I don't do social media for that very reason. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my head. But that's a conscious choice. And I get a lot of pressure from some groups that think that if I'm not on Facebook, then I really don't exist. You probably have similar examples in your own lives. Things that you just don't want, you know, you don't read that particular newspaper because you don't agree with their views or their values. I personally don't like horror films, partly because they scare me, but partly because I also think, why? And then, of course, there's things like political involvement. As I say, I've never been part of political challenges, but I do like to keep abreast with what's happening in local politics and world politics, and I always vote because I think if I don't vote, then I'm rather wasting an opportunity to have my voice heard. But that means getting involved, that means understanding what people stand for. And that can be a bit of a faff sometimes, can't it? But I think it's quite important that we stay within our values and try and show other people those values, and make sure they are founded very strongly in Jesus. And if the foundations are strong, and if the building is standing firm, if our beliefs stand firm, then actually we can stand tall. And that is what Jesus wants for us. I'm going to finish with a prayer. It's called Jesus, Our Example, and it's by Sue McCohen. Oh Jesus, we look to you as our example. In the face of the temptation to escape, to take the easy way out, you choose to continue the work and to make your way to Jerusalem. In the face of rejection of you and of the prophets, you poured out love and compassion on the people who did not want to know. In your mercy and love, give us the courage to follow our calling, no matter where it may take us. Give us your compassion for those today who reject you, who ignore you, who do not want to know. Keep us faithful through this time of Lent, following your example, until the time comes when we will say again, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen.